darkness of ignorance. So I'm very happy to be here with all the assembled Vaishnavas to glorify Srila Prabhupada today. And before glorifying Prabhupada, I'd like to glorify some of my godbrothers and godsisters. And, of course, Maharaj here, he's my godbrother. And let's start with Maharaj. I'm indebted to Maharaj because Maharaj installed my worshipable deities in North Carolina, Radha Golokananda. And I actually fainted, not out of ecstasy, because I was so exhausted with the, do you remember that? With the temple, I didn't even show up for the deity installation because I had built the temple. So Maharaj took over and enabled the deities to be installed and made it a great success. And, you know, Maharaj and I have known each other for many years. We're very good friends, and his preaching is wonderful, and he's helping tremendously in Fiji. I was just at the Singhatoka temple and just appreciating the beauty of the temple and the dedication, devotion of the devotees there. So I wanted to appreciate Maharaj, and I want to appreciate Bhagavati Vasudev, and also a member of the family who's not here today, Bhuvan Mohan, your brother, for their hard work in accepting Prabhupada's word as their life and soul. As you heard from Bhagavati, that they had a few times they interacted with Prabhupada, but it was Prabhupada's instruction that really helped them focus their lives. And specifically, Vasudev got that instruction the first time he met Prabhupada in the airport, in the transit lounge. As Bhagavati mentioned, they got permission to enter the transit lounge, which is very unusual. Most of the times you can't enter it. And Prabhupada said, are there any Radha Krishna temples here in Fiji? And Vasudev said, no, there's some Ramayana Mandirs and things, Rama Mandalis, but there's no Radha Krishna temple. And Prabhupada said, make one. So just on that one word of Srila Prabhupada, that one sentence that Srila Prabhupada gave to Vasudev, he's focused his whole life. Amazing. And we see that also with Srila Prabhupada, that there was basically one instruction, many instructions, but one important instruction that Prabhupada continually got from his spiritual master, which was to preach in English in the Western world. When Prabhupada first met his spiritual master, he was practically dragged to see his spiritual master because he didn't realize it was his spiritual master. His friend Naren said, there's this great sadhu you have to come to see. This is in Calcutta, of course. He is speaking in Uttadanga, Calcutta. And you have to see him. Prabhupada was very reluctant. Why was he reluctant? Because his father had entertained so many sadhus before. And even most of those sadhus, they had Prabhupada's father go out and purchase ganja for them. Can you imagine that? You know, sannyasi comes to your house. What can I do for you, Maharaj? What type of prasadam would you have? Can you have some ganja for me? And so Prabhupada was a little disillusioned at that point. You know, these sadhus, you know, they're not sadhus, they're ladhus. In other words, light, not heavy. And so he had no faith in all these sadhus. But then, when he was taken by his friend to see Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the first thing Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said to him is that you are all educated boys. You should preach this message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in English, practically all over the world. That was the implication. And then Prabhupada, being very intelligent, asked the person who would be his spiritual master an interesting question, or even a challenging question. He said, who will hear your message, Chaitanya's message, while India is still a captive country? Because at that point, India was captive by the British. And so Prabhupada had a sense belief in working with Mahatma Gandhi's movement, non-cooperation. And they were, of course, they were burning dhotis. We don't burn dhotis in the Krishna conscious movement. But they were just using cloth that was hand-woven in India to protest against the British. So Prabhupada made that challenge. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur very nicely responded to Prabhupada and presented the point that Krishna consciousness is transcendental to any national, racial, designation. And when Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur, the spiritual master of Prabhupada, presented that, Prabhupada accepted that as defeat. And Prabhupada accepted the words of Srila Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur as his very life and soul from that moment onwards, even though it was 11 years until Prabhupada took initiation from that point. But Prabhupada never forgot. Prabhupada actually said the real initiation is accepting the instruction of the spiritual master. In the same way, we understand when Vasudev heard the words of Srila Prabhupada, open a temple, that was his initiation, the sound vibration. So I want to speak about that point about sound vibration being the connection. Because here you see a few Prabhupada disciples, and maybe in 50 years, most of us are not going to be here. So how do we connect with Prabhupada? What are we going to do when the Prabhupada disciples are not here? And my answer is that you all can have a direct connection with Prabhupada. Of course, we have our initiating spiritual master, instructing spiritual master. That is all very nice. But each and every one of us has a right to a direct connection. And that direct connection is through sound vibration. There are two aspects to great spiritual personalities, Shaktivesh avatars. That is, of course, the word avatar means someone who descends from the spiritual world. One aspect is called Bapu, that's the body. And the other aspect is called Vani, or instructions, or words. And of the two, Srila Prabhupada instructed us that Vani is more important. You make connection through the sound vibration. Shushu Shrav, Shradanadhasya Vasudeva Gita Ruchi, Sian Mahat Seveya Vibra, Punya Tirtha Nishevanat. In other words, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, he reasons ill who says that Vaishnavas die when thou art living still in sound. Try to understand what he said. I'll repeat it. He reasons ill who says that Vaishnavas die when thou art living still in sound. Just like we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And then Krishna's there. Namah Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. Krishna's dancing on the tip of your tongue. So in the same way, when we hear from Prabhupada, Prabhupada is present before us. So you're going to have that relationship. And I'm going to tell some stories from my own interactions with Prabhupada. One story particularly that illustrates that fact. Once upon a time, before any of you were born, except Maharaj, and Vasudev and Babaji. I was a young man, hard to believe, but it did happen. You young people are thinking you'll never get old. That is illusion. One day you will be old if you're lucky. Get that far. So many years ago, let's go back to 1969. How many people here were born before 1969? One, two, three, four, five, six. Anyway, a few of you. A few of you. So in 1969, I was listening to the radio. You all know what a radio is? Yeah. A radio. And I was listening to, nonsense songs. They have the songs like the tops of the pops, or the 10 most popular songs. So I was listening, just being in Maya, like I usually was. And all of a sudden, they played this song coming from an album that Prabhupada had recorded, the Happening album. And it went, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. I can't imitate, but you understand. And immediately I heard it, and my life changed. Because that is called the Bhakti Lata Bija. Let me explain what that is. Bija means like a creeper or a seed, actually a seed. So the statement in the Chaitanya Charitamrita is Ramanda Brahmate Konda Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Bhai Bhakti Lata Beach, that we're all wandering around this world just completely lost. And then all of a sudden we come in touch by Krishna's mercy with the bona fide guru. And Bhakti Lata Beach, we get this seed of devotion implanted in our hearts. And by hearing more, it grows. So I had this seed of devotion. I didn't know what it was. I thought, what's happening to me? I'm going crazy. So I heard this person chant. I didn't know it was Prabhupada. And I thought, I have to record this. At that time, we had tapes. We didn't have MP3s. So I just listened to the radio for the next 2 or 3 days without stopping to find out what that album was. And I recorded, I played it over and over again. And my life changed just by that. Another thing happened too. About 6 months later, a devotee gave me a Krishna book, a book about Krishna's pastimes. I didn't know what it was about. But it's Prabhupada's sound vibration. That is, the books are actually containing Prabhupada's sound vibration. That's why we emphasize distributing books. Because anybody who gets Prabhupada's book, puts it on a shelf, is respecting it, hears, reads it, is in touch with Prabhupada. Direct relationship with Prabhupada. I just opened it up in some chapter, and I read about some little blue boy, I don't know who he was, stealing butter and feeding it to a bunch of monkeys. It's a strange story, isn't it? I mean, what is a Western person going to think when he hears a story like that? A blue boy feeding butter to monkeys and stealing it. It's weird. So I read from the perspective, Western perspective, because obviously I'm from the West, I'm not from Fiji, as everyone could see, at least not in this lifetime. So I read it, and guess what happened? After that time, I kept having these images. I would have dreams of little blue boy, of the little blue boy feeding butter to the monkeys and stealing butter, and I thought I was going crazy. I thought, you know, what's happening to me? Maybe I should see a psychiatrist. And that little blue boy, of course, is Krishna. So after a while, I realized it was Krishna. And I had already been a vegetarian, already chanting and everything like that. By Prabhupada's mercy, it just grew on me, just by coming, without even seeing Prabhupada. Without even coming physically in touch with Prabhupada. And I decided to be a devotee, and I was chanting. But I didn't want to move into a Hare Krishna temple. Why? Because they dress with these weird clothes. You know, what I considered to be a dress or a skirt or whatever. And they had bald heads. Because everyone at that time, in the 1970s and 60s, we all had long hair. I mean, I look like Satya Sai Baba. A young one. Not real one. Of course, nobody worshipped me at that point. So, unfortunately. So I didn't want to move in. But what happened is that a few years later, 1971, I heard that Prabhupada was coming to this place where I was living on a farm with some friends. And it was a place called Gainesville, Florida. And when I heard that, somehow or other, the energy even of Prabhupada coming took over my consciousness. I mean, even before Prabhupada came, a week before Prabhupada came, it was Prabhupada's impending coming. You know, Purva Rag, I guess you call it. Impending coming, and I went to the temple and just said to the devotees, cut off my hair. And let me wear one of those things. Dhotis, of course. And then I moved in the temple, and then a week later, Prabhupada came, and I saw Prabhupada. And immediately I understood Prabhupada is my eternal spiritual master. We had some interesting stories, too, that to receive Prabhupada, the devotees asked me to get some lotus flowers. So the only lotus flowers that were present were in a lake that was filled with alligators. Those are little crocodiles. So I went swimming with the alligators to get lotus flowers. Anyway, it was my first devotional service for Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada came to the temple and we were all showering Prabhupada with flowers. And I was able to go on so many different preaching engagements with Srila Prabhupada. And at that point, I became convinced that I should dedicate my life to Srila Prabhupada's service. And then later on, let's just fast forward, many other experiences with Srila Prabhupada. Let me just relate one or two of them. One of them was in Sridhar, Mayapur. It really stuck in my mind, this particular experience. In Sridhar, Mayapur, I was, at that time I was working in South America. This was in 1975. And I was in charge of a temple, and we had distributed 10,000 Bhagavad Gitas in a small city, Caracas, Venezuela, in 1 month. Big Bhagavad Gitas. Try that in Fiji. So I wanted to brag before Prabhupada that this was, you know, what I was doing. So I went before Prabhupada with our chief Sankirtan devotee, and I said, Prabhupada, we have distributed, 35,000 hardbound Bhagavad Gitas in 1 month. And Prabhupada's eyes opened wide. And then I said to Prabhupada, here is the devotee who distributed the most. He distributed 10,000 of those Bhagavad Gitas. And Prabhupada looked at him and Prabhupada said, he has the mercy of Krishna. And then I started to feel very envious, because Prabhupada could actually read people's minds. I was thinking, what about me? I'm the temple president. I'm the one who worked the hardest. He just went out in the street. You know, of course, he worked harder than me. And Prabhupada understood. He looked over at me and says, well, you all have the mercy of Krishna. He said, but it's just like the gopis. They're better. So Prabhupada was able to deal with my, you know, my illusion, my envy, and everything like that. And it's a very interesting thing. So we went on some preaching programs with Prabhupada in Dallas, Texas. I arranged for a reception. There's a famous video about that. And but basically, what I do with my life is I try to do what Prabhupada did with his life, because Prabhupada is my role model. People function on the basis of role models, you know, people they look up to. You know, you parents think that you can force your children to do something. Doesn't work. Because if you tell your children, you must do this, you must do that, they'll probably do the opposite. But if you set a good example, like Prabhupada said, example is better than precept, and you have someone, specifically yourself, or someone you want them to emulate or copy, then they will be very inspired. Because inspiration is personal. So Prabhupada's always meditated on the pleasure of his spiritual master. So that is my role model. That I try my best, I'm not saying I'm always successful, to meditate on Srila Prabhupada's dedication to his guru and ask myself the question, what would Prabhupada want me to do in this circumstance? And by doing that, one becomes more connected to Srila Prabhupada. As Srila Prabhupada said in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that when the spiritual master leaves the planet, if one is dedicated to the mission of the guru, then the super soul appears to one. In other words, one has realization. Or as stated in the Bhagavatam, yasya devi para bhaktir yata devi tata guru tasyaite katita yarta prakashante mahamana. One who has faith in the guru, faith in the Vedic literatures, everything becomes revealed to that particular individual. So today I'm inviting all of you to have that connection with Prabhupada, to read his books, to hear his lectures, to serve his mission, to serve this temple. All this is Prabhupada's. This temple, that's what we call founder acharya. What does founder acharya mean? It's not just founder. Founder means someone who started something. But acharya means one who sets the example for everyone who follows. And Prabhupada is that acharya. He has set the example of spiritual life. And if we follow his example, follow his instructions, serve his mission, it is absolutely certain that all of us will achieve the perfection of spiritual life, going back to home, back to Godhead. So, thank you very much. And I think that's all I have to say today. All glory is to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you. Supposed to be in New Hampshire.
Whoops.